From the verses for today, we're going to be learning a lot about what it means to love our neighbour and who indeed is our neighbour. Why did the priest pass by on the other side? Why did the Levite do the same thing? Back in the day, they would have both been following really strict rules imposed on them to not touch what could possibly be a dead body. In their positions, that would have made them unclean and unable to perform their priestly duties. They wouldn't know if the man was dead without touching him, but I can't help thinking they probably could have spoken to him, couldn't they? They were taking their rules extremely seriously. But Jesus is saying they were wrong, that man-made rules are to be challenged and sometimes broken. That loving all others is what matters. That we are to love God with all our hearts and all our minds and to love our neighbour as much as we love ourselves. And that's all our neighbours, not the ones that we cherry pick. But some people are definitely easier to love than others. Some are easier to like. And sometimes we find it easier and nicer to love our pets, and they can be incredibly helpful to us. Dogs can be wonderful friends, and some of them are trained to help people in special ways. I'm delighted to welcome our special guests this morning, Kevin Ramsey and his dog, Elsa. Kevin, I'm coming out to you. Would you like to walk forward with me?
Yeah.
And then just turn around this way. Okay, and I'm going to hand you a microphone.
Okay. Elsa, sit. Down.
Isn't she gorgeous? Okay, Kevin, would you like to tell us a little bit about Elsa?
Elsa was born in 2014, and she was named by Sainsbury's at Bishop Stortford when Frozen was first come out, and they'd done a poll in store, and Elsa was the name that come out. So, and then I got her when she was 2 years old, and she just passed as a trainer's guide dog. Then I have to be assessed as well. I take 3 weeks of training to know all Elsa's commands and things like that. And now she's 9 3/4 years old and she'll be retiring in 6 weeks.
So this is her final public engagement.
Yeah, so she'll be retiring and going on to a new home because I can't keep her and walk her. Mm. So she's going to be missed.
So what can she do for you, Kevin?
She will guide me down the path up to a curb edge. So she'll tell me when there's a curb edge, so she'll stop. And then I tell her to go on. And then she knows all her own routes now that she's learnt. She'll turn exactly the same place every time on the routes.
Okay. And what can she do for you in your own home?
Nothing in
nothing at all.
No, she's just a normal. As soon as the harness comes off, she's a normal dog.
Oh, that's amazing! Yeah. That's amazing. And you've got another dog lined up, I gather.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
No, it's gonna. Well, I've just started the process now, and it could take up to 2 years for another dog.
Oh, so that's really going to impact on you,
isn't it? Yeah, so I'm going to be without a dog for two years. Well, could be a week, could be 2 years.
How are you going to manage?
I've got to go back to my cane. So, okay. Yeah, I've got to start cane training on Monday, ready for when Elsa goes.
You're really going to miss her, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to make you cry.
No, so it's,
okay.
It's going to be tough.
It's wonderful. I'm really grateful for you bringing her.
Yeah, it's fine.
Kevin is very happy for everyone to come and say hello to Elsa, but we'll pause that if you don't mind. He's going to stay for coffee afterwards. So if you can hang on for that, that would be great. Thank you. I'll take the mic back off you and take you back to your seat.
Okay, hold on to your arm.
Yep.
Elsa, up. Good girl.
It's about a metre in front of you.
Yeah.
I think we should do the statutory thank you, don't you? So we can see that guide dogs are trained to help people who have trouble with their eyesight. But there are other types of assistance dogs too. Another type of speciality trained dog is the service dog. These dogs often work with people who have different abilities and who could possibly be in wheelchairs. They learn to open and close doors, empty washing machines, bring the person's medication perhaps and a drink, turn light switches on and off and get items that person might need. And there are hearing dogs that are trained to assist people who can't hear too well. They let their owners know when the phone rings, the oven timer goes off, the smoke alarm sounds, someone knocks at the door, or maybe the baby cries. They go to their owner and lead them to the source of the sound. There's also a whole new raft of animals being trained to sniff out particular diseases like cancer and Parkinson's. And there are some incredible animals who are trained to know when their human is about to have a seizure, and can lead them then to a place of safety and call for medical assistance. All of these dogs are trained to be helpful. Our parable today is telling us that a neighbour is anyone who needs our help. We aren't often, thank goodness, going to come across a person beaten by robbers and left in that state. But there are hundreds of opportunities where we can be helpful every day. So a few moments ago, I pre-warned you to say I'd be coming out looking for ideas in ways that we can help one another. Now, anyone can answer, not just our younger ones. I'm going to start you off with a couple of suggestions. I won't bother with the mic. You can shout. Let's see what we can do. So I'll start with help at home with a washing up, doing some housework. What else?
Putting
your neighbour's bin out. Any more? Have we got no helpful people here?
Receiving
a delivery. Okay, more, please. Seeing how your neighbours are, yes.
Shopping.
Yes.
Helping if someone falls over.
Brilliant. Yes. Any more?
Visiting.
Come on, I need another few.
Calling.
Taking to church. Yes.
Helping with childcare.
Yes. Anne. Okay. Yes, honey.
Cooking.
Okay. Brilliant. Haven't had too much from the dads here. How about putting the kids to bed? Putting the shopping away? Come on, Blakes, pull your weight.
There are many things that families can do to help one another, and there are many ways that we can help our neighbours. Jesus knows what is best for us, and helping our neighbours is something that he asks us all to do. So as I finish with this first part of the service, let's just pray together. Loving Father, you have taught us that the way to live is your way, and that you only want the best for each of us. Thank you for giving us families, friends, and all sorts of neighbours. Help us to remember your instructions to love them all, and help us this week to put that love into practice. Amen. So I've got something that I'm going to need some help with. I spoke about assistance animals, but other animals help us too. There are therapy horses, for example. Now, I'd love to see some pictures. There's blank sheets down here, and there are some images of assistance dogs too. Loads of crayons. If any of our younger church family want to wander down, please do. I also wonder if apart from that, listen, could you invent an animal that has superpowers? Maybe a cat who could do the ironing. Or a horse that can do your homework. Come and stretch your imagination, and at the end of the service, we'll have a look at what you've done. Should have got a bigger table. Compassion. If the whole of the parable of the Good Samaritan could be summed up with one word, I think it would be that. What does the word compassion even mean? In the original Greek of the New Testament, it means moved to the depths of his inner being. The Hebrew word for compassion is similar to womb, suggesting the very deep and profound nature of it. At the end of the parable, how are we left feeling? We've listened to it with the unknown lawyer, the one who wants to know where his neighbourly obligations begin and end. And together we hear Christ's command to go and do likewise. Well, that sounds really simple, doesn't it? No. Life is complicated and messy. And simple truths soon get lost in our busyness. I'm going to break down the rest of what I've got to say into three short sections, looking firstly at prejudice, then judgment, and finally attitudes. I'm sure if anyone asked us individually if we were prejudiced in any way, we would strenuously deny it. Not least because it's been so much of our cultural heritage and we are constantly learning to acknowledge previous wrongs and put them right. We think of ableism, gender, beliefs. There's a long, long list. However hard we try, we still get it wrong far too often. In biblical times, the common reasons for cultural prejudices were, very importantly, lived experience. That road that the Samaritan was travelling on from Jerusalem to Jericho was about 17 miles long, descending steeply 3,000 feet through really desolate country. It was notorious for being a hot spot for bandits and thieves. Jesus has concentrated on the very violent treatment of the poor traveller. He was left half dead. Why did the poor man get left? As I mentioned earlier, there were really strict laws in the Jewish tradition that both the priest and the Levite were obligated to follow. Leviticus 21 says this: a priest must not make himself ceremonially unclean by touching the dead. They had their reasons. If they touched a dead person, they would not have been allowed to continue their duties. The law was the law. We aren't in that situation these days in our country, thank goodness, but confronted with someone in need, we may have our reasons to not respond. It's none of my business. I could get hurt and I might do something wrong. CPR is the classic for that one. I wouldn't know what to do. I'm late for an appointment. Or collecting my kids from school? Or is it possible that we blank things out that we don't want to see. My second point surrounds the subject of making a judgment about others. In this parable, we probably all find ourselves judging the priest. Isn't it part of his calling to show love and compassion for others? He really shouldn't have walked away. The Levite, we probably feel the same sort of thing. And then comes the shocker. Jesus tells his audience of the passerby who stops to help and care was a Samaritan. A Samaritan! Filthy, violent, ignorant, thieving, and never to be trusted Samaritans. Or words to that effect. Judgments made when we are called not to judge. Remember earlier when we heard about the dangerous nature of the road being travelled? Let's flesh that story out a bit. The priest maybe had walked this route before and possibly had witnessed other muggings. Maybe members of his own family had endured being beaten in the past. It was a violent world that he lived in. If you see violence often and it has negatively affected you personally, would that be enough of a reason to stay wide from the victim? Possibly. And how about the Levite? Maybe he'd endured a beating himself. And the human instinct for self-preservation is so powerful that any inclination that he might have had to help others by putting himself in any danger had been very firmly squashed. And then comes our most unlikely hero, the Samaritan man. The Jews had been powerfully prejudiced against his tribe for their own reasons for centuries. Yet here he is, the epitome of a hero. I'm sure he would have been as familiar with the dangers of this road as the others. He may have been subject to his own cultural and religious rules. Yet something very different happened. He was filled with compassion, and compassion changes everything. For my final point today, I'm going to look at the meaning of attitude, of having the right attitude. Attitudes are beliefs we hold that are turned into actions. Attitudes are a partial display of who we are. We've all heard people say things like, "Oh, that person has got a really can-do attitude." Or, conversely, "That person has an attitude problem." Our own attitudes directly influence our own behaviours and are a good indicator of who we are. Our attitudes can directly affect the outcome of any given situation. Kathy, can I have the slide, please? What made the actions of the Samaritan so outstanding? Let's call them the three I's. They were immediate. There's no point in waiting until tomorrow or waiting for someone else to do the right thing. That man needed help right there, right then. And so he responded, the Samaritan responded without delay. They were indiscriminate. He didn't care what religion or nationality the man was. He just helps. In today's terms, we might also suppose that he would have taken no notice of the victim's gender, colour, or orientation. And he ignored the inconvenience. He had to delay his own journey, detour to find accommodation, and strike a deal with the innkeeper, to whom he agrees to return later and settle any outstanding debts. And Jesus asks us to go and do the same. He gives us two instructions in one really short sentence. Go, do. Don't hang back while you have a proper think about it. Go and do the same. Well, easy, yeah? Another no. We can't do anything of any great value based on our own strengths alone. So we need to fill up on God's words and fill up with the love that he has for us, and to respond to him firstly with all our hearts and with all our minds. Let our attitude be one of overflowing love that can respond to a need immediately, indiscriminately, and when it's jolly inconvenient. Amen.